In your Bibles to Exodus chapter 7. Thank you. Exodus chapter 7, as we continue our study out of the book of Exodus, the title, God Will Surely Visit You. Ooh. Today, the sermon is titled, Whose Power is Greater? Whose power is greater? And I know all of us would give a resounding, of course, the Lord God Almighty. But when we come into this text today, not only in the very details of our life, we don't always confess that. I know I don't. I don't always believe that. Somehow my flesh gets in the way, or I get tired in the battle. And as we come to this passage of Scripture, we're reading about a great spiritual battle between God and Satan in this passage of Scripture. And as God's children, we all will have to face the enemy. And all of us probably already have. You see, our enemy uses trickery and appearances as his very nature, because Jesus said in John 8 that he's a liar. I want to read John 8, 43. He says, "Why do you not understand what I say?" Jesus is talking to the spiritual leaders of the time. He said, "It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So just as we say God in his character is love, we can say Satan in his character is a liar, is a deceiver. That is his nature. That's the core of his nature. So the power of the evil one is real, and it's displayed every day in our lives. We can either bury our heads into the sand and say that God, that power does not exist, or we can recognize that there's real power that the evil one has. The devil uses people and circumstances wherever he can in an attempt to weaken our faith in God and cause us to live in fear of the devil's power. We have to remember, though, that the evil one has power. Even though he has power and he's the master of hiding behind people and circumstances. You know, the way he works is to hide behind people, to hide behind circumstances, and subtly work out his power and influence and hurt others. We must always remember that our battle is not with the people, as I mentioned earlier today, but it's with the evil one, who is also a created being, and therefore he has less power than God. God's power always has been and always will be greater. The Lord has all authority, and he invites us to trust in him and live our daily lives under his almighty authority, rather than the mirage authority displayed in this world by the evil one. And I want you to know that there is a mirage authority in this world. The Bible calls Satan the god of this world that a lot of people blindly follow. And in this situation, you find Pharaoh awestruck by this authority. In fact, he thought he himself was that authority. The Lord God has all authority, and he invites us to trust in him as we live out our daily lives under his hand, under his authority. He invites us to submit to his power and walk in his power and authority. Now, I want to ask you this question. I want you to think about this as we launch into this passage. How are you living your life right now? Don't say this to others, but just think in your heart. Is your lifestyle demonstrating to others that you truly believe God's power is greater? When people experience you on a daily basis as you go to work and go about your business in the marketplace, do people sense that you really believe that God's power is greater than any other power? So this text today depicts this great battle. Pastor James Boyce puts it this way. It's a battle pitted against Jehovah, the true God, who moved Moses and Israel against all the false gods of the Egyptian pantheon, backed by a host of fallen angels who had turned from God as a part of Lucifer's original rebellion. See, I want us to understand as we come into this passage, and we're talking about this is not just a little story that happened with Moses and Aaron. This was God's people, God's prophet, Aaron and Moses, coming against a nation that was steeped in witchcraft, that worshipped other gods, that took oaths to other gods, that followed and served Satan himself. And so there is a clash of power that is happening here. And in Ephesians 6:12, as we read, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. You see, Moses was not in a contest with Pharaoh himself. He was in a contest with Satan, with the spiritual forces of darkness. And we're going to unpack that as we go through our text today. And we'll see that Pharaoh had some things very backwards. Although Pharaoh did not get the pyramids wrong, he put them right side up. You can go and see them to this day. What he did have wrong was who was in charge. What he did have wrong was who had all authority and power. And that's what he had upside down. So I want to invite you to read with me this morning out of Exodus 7, verses 8 to 13, and then we'll go through. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Prove yourselves by working a miracle,' then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent.' So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded." They were probably singing "Trust and Obey" on their way there. "Then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent.' So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Still Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said." So what can we learn from this today? Number one, God reveals His Word to us. We must always be expectant and ready for God to work. Did you notice in verse 8, God said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you," He equipped them and made them ready. And so I want to challenge us today. First of all, as believers in Jesus Christ, God has revealed His holy word, the scriptures, to us. He, unlike other powers of this earth, He's given us a book that clearly communicates His unchanging truth to us. So what's different than the powers of this age? When they write books, it's all over the place. You know, you think of some of the cults and some of the books that were written, like, let's say, for example, the Book of Mormon. If you were to get an early copy of the Book of Mormon and then get a later copy to this day, a lot of it's been changed over time. Things that were totally off the wall, you know, crazy things that were just totally wrong. God's Word never changes. It is always consistent. It is always clear. It does not change. But you see, the Satan's deceptive power is that he tries to mimic what God does. And he creates books and things like that that will lead people to slay. But he just can't get it right. So they have to keep adding things to it and keep changing it over time. And that's what happens. But we as believers have a God who is greater, that's given us a book that was written over thousands of years that is consistent and cannot change. So unlike any other power, God promises to prepare us with clear life-changing instruction in His Word. So God didn't want Pharaoh and Moses to be in the dark. He says, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Prove yourselves,' here is what I want you to do." Just as Jesus instructed and said the devil is a liar, here's what I want you to do. As I read in our scripture reading in Ephesians chapter 6 today, he is seeking whom he may devour. Here is what I want you to do. Here's the plan. Here's the instruction. So God reveals his word. But secondly, God will always do exactly what he says he will do. He can be trusted with our absolute obedience. Although when the devil gives revelation and speaks and leads people to do something, it is always to destroy. So it's constantly changing. When God says he's going to do something, he does exactly what he says he's going to do. And unlike any other power, God never, ever deceives his people. And unlike any other power, God always keeps his word. And now think about this. Now remember, this was the same Moses that was making all kinds of excuses. God, I can't do that. And even remember when God showed him that your staff can turn into a serpent and all of that. And he was afraid to pick it up in the Hebrew. That word gave it. He had some hesitation. And then he kept making excuses. But finally, at this point, he was willing to obey God's calling. God has to do some work in our lives to bring us to that point. And I thank God that it's a sometimes slow and gracious journey, because if I had it all at once, I'd fail the test over and over and over. But I want you to know that God always provides everything we need to obey his calling. Moses made excuses before, but this time he did it right away. He had full confidence and faith that when Aaron threw the rod of the Lord down, that it would turn into a serpent and that would be a sign. Now remember, what was the purpose of all this? Is the beginning of chapter 7. He says in verse 5 that the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. It's always the purpose. So God will always do exactly what he says. He can be trusted with absolute obedience. But you know, if you're like me, and God has called me to do something, and I get a little bit afraid, it's like, I don't want to offend those people. I don't want to upset the fruit basket. I don't want to put myself in a position where I'll get made fun of more at work or persecuted more. And then we start to say, well, is God really going to turn this rod into a serpent? We start questioning. Is God really going to give me the faith and the boldness that I need to carry out this mission that he's called me to fulfill? But we can see in this text today and throughout the whole scripture that God always keeps his word. And that's what we have to hang on to. Whose power is greater? The Lord's power is greater because he always keeps his word. The devil and his character is just the opposite. How many have always 100% kept your word in here? Well, I'll be there at 6 o'clock. And then we show up at whatever time that we have because we didn't plan enough time to get dressed or to fix our hair or anything like that or whatever it is. Or we needed to stop and get something before we were there. We didn't prepare ahead of time to bring food to somebody's house or a gift or something like that. And we're late. God never, ever, ever goes back on his word. When he says he does something, he does it exactly as he says. Now, there's a lot of us when it comes to this that we think that, and I want you to know that God doesn't work this way, but Satan does. He gives us lots of treats, so play dumb as long as you can. I think that's sort of what Moses was doing, wasn't he? And Aaron, and if we read back a few chapters, it's like, God, I can't do this mission you called me to do. After God met with him in the burning bush and touched his lips and said, I put my words in your mouth, and he revealed his name, Yahweh. God, I can't do it. I played dumb. 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4. We have to remember this passage of Scripture, and I hope this will be an encouragement to you. I want you to notice the connection with the new covenant power that we have from being believers in Jesus Christ. He says, His, not ours, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through what? The knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. How do we gain the knowledge of Him? His Word, and communing with Him through His Word, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. See, the devil wants us to believe that God has given us these things. He wants us to doubt those things. He wants us to doubt that, well, there's a better way to escape this corrupt nature. And that's for me to be in power. That's what Pharaoh believed. But God's given us everything through our knowledge of Him. Now, that is a verse that you and I often throw around, right? It's a common, popular verse that we can throw there. Well, God has given us everything in His Word. The question is, do I really believe that these promises are great and that they can carry me through my workday? They can carry me in being a father or mother or whatever role that God has called you to? Do I believe in them, or is there other better ways of doing things? Oh, oftentimes I think there's better ways. I'm so unskilled with building things and construction things as we're working on our house, and there have been different times, and I said, well, why are they doing it this way? This way would be so much easier. And then it gets to the end result, you got to take it all apart and redo it again or something, because that shortcut wasn't the right way to do it. God's way is always the best. Number three, God has authority over every power, even though the enemy attempts to mimic God's power, but His power is greater. Look in verse 11 and 12 now again. He says, Pharaoh summoned the wise men and sorcerers. So Aaron cast down his staff, and it becomes a serpent. Now, I want to draw your attention to something here, because God is trying to show His power. Back in chapter 4, when God was training Moses, He used a different word for serpent, which literally just means a snake. Now when He comes into this passage of Scripture, He uses another word for serpent, which is intensive. It could be a marine or land monster, a sea serpent, a dragon, a sea monster, or a venomous snake. Now when you think about that, it went from snake to now venomous snake, which around Egypt would be a cobra. And I don't know if you can see in that picture a little bit, and you've probably seen it in the movies, but it's true to historical records that little thing that Pharaoh would wear on his head was a cobra, because they believed that was their symbol of power and authority. So here he is. He's saying, not only is it just a snake, but it's a poisonous snake, or some people might say a dragon or a sea monster or whatever it might be. But God uses this in other contexts and refers to it as a poisonous snake, like in Deuteronomy 32:32. It says, for the vine comes from the vine of Sodom and from the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of poison. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of serpents. And He uses that very word for serpent. And the cruel venom of asps. Psalms 91:13, you will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. You see, the serpent, not the crocodile or sea monster, was a symbol of Pharaoh's authority. He used this because in Egyptian culture, they were afraid of snakes. Now, I might have fit in very well. If I see a snake, it's a dead snake. I don't care what kind it is. I witnessed my brother-in-law even with a little, I think I might have told you this before, a little innocent green snake, literally, I kid you not, with a 16-foot long, 6x16 board, trying to smash it in the little corner. Like, I mean, it's right over there, and he's got the board trying to smash the little green snake. And Mom's saying, Michael, come, and I'm driving by, I was like, oh, I went through that too when I first moved to West Virginia. I saw that green snake, and I was like, it's green, it's bright, it's neon, it's got to be poisonous. So I took my little clippers and clipped his head off in the tree. And then somebody says, well, those are great snakes. Those are good snakes. They eat the bugs. And it's like, oh, well, I hate snakes. I still hate snakes. So the Egyptian culture was afraid of snakes, obviously for obvious reasons, the cobras. You get bit by a cobra, you probably won't survive. They carried good luck charms or amulets to protect themselves from this serpent that they believed, a god that they worshipped named Apophis, who personified evil to them. They had a lot of spells to protect themselves from snake bites. The Pharaoh's ceremonial headdress depicted this, and the reason why Pharaoh did this, and it was a tactic of a communist for sure, is that whatever intimidates and scares the people, that's going to be my symbol of authority. I'm God, and I'm going to declare myself as God. The people are afraid of snakes, so this is perfect way for me to control my nation. And that's exactly what he did. But here's the thing. He had to contend with God Almighty, because God Almighty steps in, and what does he do? He throws that stick on the ground, and it becomes a serpent that's eating dust. Saying, Pharaoh, there's your authority. There's your power. And whatever this creature was, it displayed that even the great serpent, the dragon Satan, is under God's command. Unlike any other power, God's power does not have to be conjured up or copied. Satan can only corrupt, never create. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Now, all Moses did was obey God and throw the stick down, and God made it a serpent. For these sorcerers to conjure up these serpents, they had all these incantations, they had all these spells, they had all these things that they had to do. They made oaths to demons and to Satan to be able to have the power to do these things. God and his power is creative. Satan always borrows or copies or is less than the power. He cannot conjure up something out of nothing. Only God can. It's like, remember Elijah and the prophet of Baal, the contest on the mountains? They were like, oh, come and light our fire. They're beating themselves. And Elijah just stands there, and God sets the whole thing on fire with the water around it. That is the power of God. And that's exactly what he is trying to show and prove to Pharaoh. Unlike any other powers that are random displays of power, God's power is specifically displayed to confirm his word. Now, if you look at all those that practice magic arts and voodoo and horoscopes and things like that, it is to do random acts to make people go, wow. But when God does these acts of judgment, as he talks about in the scripture, and displays his power, it is always to confirm that his word is true. And what was his word to Pharaoh? Let my people go. These are not your people, Pharaoh. These are my people. I want you to let them go so they can go in the wilderness and worship me. Galatians 4, 8, and 9 pictures the kind of pickle that they were in as they took oaths to Satan, as they worshipped and took part in sorcery. He says, formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods at all. So that the gods that they were worshipping, they were enslaved to. But he says, but now that you've come to know God, or rather to be known by God, I love that, how can you turn back against to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? And again, Ephesians 6:12, it's a wrestling against that authority and power. Unlike any other gods, powers, or really no gods at all, as the scripture says, they are created beings, they're demonic angels. God's power is limited. When Pharaoh, and here's gives us a little bit of deeper understanding. When Pharaoh would take the royal crown, this is, you could probably research this in your history, for those of you that are history buffs. But when a Pharaoh would take leadership, he would make an oath or offer his soul to Satan with these words. He would say, "O great one, O magician, O fiery snake, let there be terror of me like the terror of thee. Let there be fear of me like the fear of thee. Let there be awe of me like the awe of thee. Let me rule, a leader of the living. Let me be powerful, a leader of spirits." And so when Aaron cast down his rod, it was like throwing the sovereignty of Pharaoh on the ground to eat dust, and to show him that the power that he bit into, the soul that he gave up to Satan's power that hardened his heart, the Holy Spirit in one sweeping moment hits it head on. And you know, I think that's the way the Holy Spirit deals with you and I. Whatever areas that you struggle to worship other gods or put other things above God or priority over Him, that's where the Holy Spirit's going to step in. I don't know what it is for you. Probably it's not going to be a serpent on the ground for Pharaoh. That's what it was. But God will intervene in our lives in a way to show His power and His sovereignty is limited. Unlimited, rather. It's limitless. So do you see what's going on here? This is more than just a snake and a rod. It was an upset of everything that Pharaoh and his magicians and all of his politicians believed in. It was a contest of God's power, of God showing up and revealing and bringing to light, these gods that you worship are no gods at all. They are demons. And they're destroying your life. Oh, I love this. Because, you know, when we read on, he says, when they cast down and Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Can you imagine this? Here's Moses just throws it down. It becomes a serpent. They're like, oh yeah, they do all their incantations, and then they got the snakes, and then his snakes just kind of casually eats theirs, swallows them. I never thought and connected the scripture with that, but look in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, when the perishable puts on imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is the swallowing happening? It's happening in the moment that Jesus Christ rose and walked out from that grave, forever conquering sin and death, making a public showing, as Colossians says, over and triumphing over the evil one through his shed blood on the cross. Moses displayed the power of, in other words, God through Moses and Aaron displayed the power of Messiah. Death is being swallowed up in victory by that moment when the snake swallowed the other snakes. And last of all, God always has a perfect plan as He works in our lives. We have to continue to trust in His power. You say, all right, death is swallowed up in victory, right? And then Monday comes. Death is swallowed up in victory. And then somebody attacks us spiritually, physically, emotionally, whatever way. Or we enter into an extreme trial. You say, God, where are you now? And Moses and Aaron could have been in that place, because in verse 13 it says, still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, and the Lord had said. Now, in the coming weeks, there are 10 things that God specifically does to eat away at the hardened heart of Pharaoh. And each of those is very significant from his power and his leadership over Egypt. But God always has a perfect plan in our lives, and we have to continue to trust in His power. And that's exactly what Moses and Aaron and the children of Israel says. Well, man, God, we showed them the sign. Now what? God says, wait, this is just the beginning. Because when I show my power, I don't just do a little firework. I do 10 fireworks that are huge so that all of Egypt and all of Israel know that I am God, I am greater than. And so unlike any other power, God skillfully works in people's hearts for his own purpose. And unlike any other power, God uses time to display his glory to the absolute greatest degree. And I want you to know that word harden in the Hebrew is in the perfect tense, which means it's an already completed action. Pharaoh's heart was already hard. It was already there. God says, now I'm going to show my glory. So fret not when it seems like things that are happening in your life are greater than God. Because there's more to come. Greater is he. I love this verse in Scripture that gives the picture of a hardened heart in the last days. 2 Thessalonians 2. It says, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. That describes Pharaoh. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, we're going to see this more and more and more. We're going to see demon possession. We're going to see witchcraft and spells and things that might astound you. You know, some of these groups and people that are involved in witchcraft say, hey, we can do our umba-booba-booga, whatever things we do, and we can make a table levitate. Big deal. Tanya and I can pick up a table. That's nothing new. My God does something out of nothing. He's taken a person like me who's not his people and made me his people, his son. He's created in me a clean heart. He's transferred me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And he who begins a great work in you will finish it to completion. But 1 John 4 says, little children, you are from God and you have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are not from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of evil. It says, don't be afraid. Our God is greater. I may have shared at one point when I was back at Moody, there was a Baptist boy on my floor, and he experienced late at night a demon-possessed person on the street in Chicago that was jumping above the street lamps, like unusually high. And so he comes, and, you know, and we prayed and all this sort of thing. But when you think about that, there's going to be things like that happen, but big deal. I've seen people jump in that high in the Olympics. Or if I see kids in their backyard on a trampoline that can jump that high, or somebody that lands on the moon that jumped that high. See, these are all things that have already been done and already will be done. God's power is greater. Do not be afraid. Right now, some of you have some pharaohs that you're dealing with in your life. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they make up things about you, they do whatever it is. And it might be a difficult family situation, it might be something that's going on at work. But know this, and trust in this, that God's power is greater. It may not seem so now, but there's more plagues a-coming. Because God will deliver his children. God will hear the cries and the prayers of his people. Because he's greater than. Yahweh's power is greater forever. Why? Because he reveals his word to us. We have to be expectant and ready. God will always do exactly what he says he will do. His word can be totally trusted to the point of our absolute obedience, even when it hurts. God has authority over power. God's power is always greater. Nothing Satan can do that God has to give him permission first. God always has a perfect plan as He works in our lives. We have to keep trusting in His power. I think this is one of the most difficult things that you and I might face as believers. We say, God, please deliver me from this, and He doesn't right away. And then we look back 10 years later and say, oh, now I see why, because you got greater glory and these greater things happened and more people came to Christ, or whatever it might be. But God always does every single thing for His greatest glory, and that is not something you and I can understand. And this is where we need to ask God for faith and help our unbelief, because our God is greater. Will the worship team come and you join me in prayer today? Father, I thank You for Your word. We thank You for the power of Your resurrection at work in each and every one of our lives. And Lord, I pray that You would help our unbelief. Lord, right now, I and my brothers and sisters together, we turn to You as the all-knowing, as the all-powerful God. And Lord, I pray that You'd strengthen our weak hearts by the power of Your word. Lord, I pray that all over in this room that there'd be men and women that would rise up in this great battle, not in our own strength or power, but in Your power alone. And Lord, I pray that You'd teach us to wait for Your salvation. Maybe you are here today and you've never put your trust in this God that's greater. I encourage you today, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's as simple as putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to repent of your sins, to turn away from your past way of living and say, Jesus, I receive You. You died in my place for my sins. You rose again and You swallowed death. I believe. I put my trust in You. I want to encourage you, if the Holy Spirit is working that in your heart today, put your trust in the Lord. Believe in the name of the Lord while the time is ripe. But as believers, I want to encourage you to encourage one another and to enter into prayer, to boldly go into this spiritual battle, knowing our God is greater, our God is stronger, God is more powerful. Lord, to You be all the glory and honor. We thank You for Your holy word. We thank You for this beautiful display of Your power in history. And it's just as powerful today as it was then, as we read Your living word. And we give You the glory in Your name. Amen.
Amen. Just stand with us as we worship the Lord. Let me just sing and confirm what we just heard, that He will hold us fast in all of that.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter will prevail, He will hold me fast. I could never I see if it dies, for my love is running cold. He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast.
life he bled and died. Christ will hold you fast. Justice has been satisfied.
Amen. God, we thank you that death is swallowed up in victory, and I pray that that math greater than sign would be forever burned within our spiritual hearts, our souls, and our minds. That Yahweh, you are greater than. And Lord, I pray that we'd experience that, you would remind us of that, that you would aid us to bank upon that truth. And Lord, I pray that we would go, each person in this room, out fearlessly, bold as a lion, because of your power that's at work within us. To you be all glory and honor and praise, and all God's people said,